Welcome back to another edition of the Wednesday Morning After Show. And thanks to Kaya for keeping those of us who don't sleep at night a little bit happier.
It's true. Late night listeners. I used to be a late night listener.
It was definitely very sort of soulful this week. Very inspiring stuff. This week we have a packed show. In the first hour, we're going to have a small extract from what you might have found from participating at the Expo Zine that happened last week. And what else? In the second hour, we're going to have, as usual, news. We're going to have weather. We're going to have a sidewalk talk for you fans. I know there's a big following of sidewalk talk out there. We're also going to have the second edition of the Avalanche series. I don't know if you guys remember, a couple weeks ago we had an interview with the Avalanche folks. So we're going to hear a little bit from that. And I'll give a little bit more detail later on. And so what?
Someone's in studio.
Someone's in studio. And,
Matthew.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, hello, folks. We have a new volunteer, guys. His name is Matthew. Matthew, hi.
Make you feel comfortable.
Margo, as usual. The piece I'm going to play for you guys in the second hour is contributed by Kathy Inoue and the folks at Avalanche. So, Matthew, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you recorded over at the Expo Zine when you present that piece to us?
Yeah, I recorded. I went around the whole room, which was based in the basement of a church, and it was basically a small press underground comic and zine fair. And so I went around. There was I heard there was supposed to be like 145 stands there. There seemed to be like a thousand.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it was so packed, so many people there, and it was just a great experience. And so I went around and I talked to the people around and asked them about what they were doing and if they were enjoying themselves and what's and what's not. And so that's what you're going to hear on the recording.
Cool, man. Well, thanks a lot.
Sure.
And maybe we'll discuss a little bit more when we... when we come back from hearing the piece. For you goofballs out there who are wondering, what the hell is he playing in the background? This is the KLM Cordettes Steel Orchestra. And I'm not kidding you. This vinyl's cover has like maybe 20, has like 35 people playing tin cans that all... The blue tin cans that all have KLM signs on them, like the... By KLM, I'm talking about the airline here. And they're all wearing blue and white suits.
Is this steel band?
It is a steel band.
Ah.
Cordettes, a steel orchestra, brought to you by KLM. And the caption says, place for your entertainment. We're listening to a song called... Miss Tourist. So, and these guys are from Trinidad and Tobago. Really interesting stuff. So let's go on to that Expo Zine and see what happened over there.
I will take you on a tour of the Expo Zine.
Hello, I'm with
Mark Mann.
And what do you do?
Hello. I'm the editor-in-chief of Concordia's alternative arts magazine, The Void.
Okay, and why do you do this?
Why do I do it? Self-gratification. essentially, at Concordia, there's 30,000 students. It's a huge pool of talent, and a lot of people that are in the process of working on a career in publishing, writing, art, you know, and so just like an unbelievable resource in terms of putting together a magazine like the one that we do. I find that that essentially is just a lot of free labor, and then you can really get a lot of good work. So I'm just trying to tap into that with the staff and see what we can come up with.
Okay, and you just started doing this, right?
Actually, The Void has been around for 4 years, which I guess puts us in late middle age for a lot of magazines. The difference between where we are now and where we were 4 years ago is pretty significant. 4 years ago, it was just a simple lit review. Now we're a very theme-oriented, try to be quite selective magazine. You know, we're working on maintaining pretty rigorous writing standards.
Okay, and how do you put it together? Every month, or when does it come out? Every month, yeah?
It comes out every, there's two issues per semester, so it's about bi-monthly, pretty much, yeah.
All right, and where are you based, and do you accept submissions for those curious?
Well, we, because we're so theme-oriented, we're really interested in constructing each issue around a theme that's broad enough and specific enough to sort of give a lot of space for like many different perspectives, many different voices. I mention it because we have a writer's pool that we try to draw on, and pretty much all of our writing is commissioned. So we accept submissions generally, but we accept them as writing samples, and then if it seems to be the kind of writing that we're looking for, if it's innovative enough, if it's coming from the voice is creative enough, and then we'll approach them and pitch ideas to them. At the end of the day, the issue, the final result ends up being quite different than what we had in mind, but always a lot better. You know, we come up with something as a staff, and then people put radically different spins on it, but it's really enjoyable. It's much more satisfying that way. You know.
All right, and people could actually get paid for their submissions, right?
No, we don't pay for submissions at this stage anyway. Yeah.
All right, and I have another last question that might be out of topic, but with the show we're doing, would you ever eat human meat?
Certainly, yeah, I wouldn't hesitate. So.
Okay, so I'm here with
Bill Charbonneau.
And what do you do?
I'm the publisher of a bi-monthly webcomic newspaper called Zoinks Magazine.
Okay, and what's in it?
It's basically, or at least as we like to describe it, it's the arts and entertainment publication of the webcomic industry.
Okay, and why do you do this?
We do it because, well, frankly, I'm a webcomic creator myself, and there just didn't seem to be any venue for webcomics, at least on a newspaper level, to get published. And we saw it as a market that needed to be filled, so we decided to give it a go ourselves.
Okay, and when did you start this?
The first issue was out in October of this year, so, and we're only on our second issue now, so it's only been 3 months.
Okay, and how do you do it? You have a press at home, or is it home-based, or is it...
Actually, our company is home-based, Boneflake Studios, but we actually designed this all using design software, and it's sent off to a printer, and it's printed traditionally on newsprint.
And where do they sell it? Where do you sell it around?
Actually, Zoinks you can only buy through online subscription or single issue orders at our website. And we're trying to get it in comic stores eventually, but right now it's just through online sales at boneflake.com.
Okay, could you repeat that, please?
Sure, it's boneflake.com, and that's where you can pick it up.
Okay, and just one last question. What is your favorite swear word?
My favorite swear word? You have to narrow it down to one? My favorite swear word has got to be fuck.
Okay, I'm here with Matthew Law.
And what do you do?
Well, around here, I try to disseminate poetry, and hopefully people want to read it. Today I'm starting the first 4 imprints for a future magazine / press.
Okay, and what is it about?
The poetry. What's the poetry about?
Yeah, what's the poetry?
Well, I'm working on a bunch of projects these days, but I'm more interested in starting an organization whereby new poetry is getting out there, because it seems like really vital new poetry and poetics aren't getting out into the world. The poetry that I see in many cases really bores me, I hate to admit. And so I'm trying to do something new. I know a few writers here and on the West Coast, and trying to start something to disseminate their work.
Okay, and why do you do this exactly? What pushes a man to go into poetry?
What pushes a man, what pushes a boy, maybe. I think I was about 11 years old when I started worrying about poetry and these things. And for a long time, I was doing it on my own. I was showing close friends and refining the work, silly as that sounds for an adolescent boy, but it was the case. And I don't know, at some point I realized that that you can do these things on your own, you can put them out there, and that people are interested, and that there is a community.
And you run this from your home or from a workplace?
Soon enough, there's going to be an office. I sure as hell hope that there's going to be an office sometime soon. I have a few friends that are interested in putting together something whereby we can do all of the aspects of magazine or bookmaking. So over and above the poetry, that we're hoping to do silk screening, screen printing, as well as press, small press work.
And so do you have an address, a place where people can contact you and get one of your pieces of your zines?
Well, as far as the magazine goes, I'm looking for contributors. There is an email address only, as it stands. The email address is popularabattoir, one word, popularabattoir, @gmail.com. We're always looking for contributors, English and French as well. I'd like to find a French editor and start working on French, new French poetry as well.
Okay, and I have one last question. Have you ever walked barefoot in the snow?
I've walked barefoot in almost every substance known to man.
So I'm here with Matthew Surridge. And what do you do?
I'm a writer, a professional writer. I write some articles for a history magazine in the States. And being a writer, this means I have to supplement my income by various other means, which I do, odd jobs and the like.
All right. And you have a zine here out. And what's it about?
Well, I've got 3 different zines, and one of them's about Montreal, the history of the city, various writings, I should say, to do with the history of the city, short stories, nonfiction stories, narrative poem. Then another one is just a collection of short stories. A third one is a mixture of pictures that I took from an old book and text that I wrote in relation to those pictures. Character pieces to do with the characters that are in the pictures, explanations of the scenes, that sort of thing.
Okay, and if someone's looking for this, where would they go to find it, and what is it called? What are they all called?
Well, I don't have a collective name for them at the moment. I used to do more of these types of chapbooks, and the thing is that most of the stores in which I had them, which sold them on consignment, have disappeared. The Double Hook, Nebula, Danger, these stores just aren't around anymore. So having got back into this, I'm looking around for venues that might be a logical place to bring them to.
What do you think is causing all these stores to just disappear out of Montreal? And
well, I used to know some people who were involved with Nebula, who worked there, and apparently, with them, the story was, in part, just the advent of stores like Amazon.com. These online stores, it becomes very easy to just sit back and order from them, especially if you're a specialty store. Suddenly, you no longer have the monopoly on that particular specialty. You can just go online and find whatever you're looking for there. So I think that has had quite an effect on stores in the region.
Okay, and if someone is looking for this, where would they go to find your zine?
That's a very good question, because I'm still trying to figure out where to take them to. I'm going to be talking probably to people at the Cafe Esperanza there. Beyond that, I don't know at this point, but I'm sure it'll be around somewhere.
All right, and I have one last question. What's your favorite snack?
Favorite snack? I can't really. This is very difficult to explain, but I'm in the middle of reconfiguring my entire diet, so I can't really, I just don't have an answer for that right now.
All right, what was it before?
It would really depend on the day.
We're Saturday, so what was it on Saturday?
No, unfortunately, it's not planable like that. It's just, what do I feel like having? That's what my favorite snack is.
I'm here with
Amanda Crawford.
And what do you do?
For money or?
No, just for what's your zine?
Oh, okay. I have Horror Vacui, which is a collection of like longer stories, and this I have Upfront, which is mostly one-page things I did for a free Windsor Entertainment magazine, sort of like Mirror, but in Windsor.
Okay, and what's it about?
The upfront pieces are mostly nasty, sarcastic observations, like whatever was bugging me at the time. And the Horror Vacuis are sort of longer autobiographical pieces.
All right. And how did you get started doing this?
Well, I've been an artist for many years. Up until just a couple years ago, I mostly painted. And somehow I was not really satisfied. I wanted it to be more narrative, but without putting paintings, like I thought, putting paintings with words next to them. And then I thought, well, what the hell am I thinking? You know, I've been into comics for a long time. Why don't I just do that? And so I just started doing that a couple years ago.
Okay, and are you home-based or are you a business?
I'm home-based. Yeah, I'm working on a website so people will be able to buy from the website, but that's not quite up yet.
Okay. Are you a foreign spy?
No comment.
So I'm here with
David Whittington.
And what do you do?
I do many things, actually. But what I do here, I guess, is I'm representing two different groups. One is as publisher of Cumulus Press, and the other is as a member of the Collectif Les Lucioles, which is a video collective. And I'm also one of the organizers of this event.
All right. And what are your zines and books about?
Well, they're all pretty different, actually. But I guess Cumulus Press, we do some poetry. We have an anthology series for writers under 25. And we also have a political element with Autonomous Media, which is about media activism. And there's another book called Counterproductive, which is kind of like a review of the Summit of the Americas protests, which were in Quebec City in 2001. This came out a year afterwards.
Okay, and why do you do this?
Sorry?
Why do you do this?
Why do I do this? Well, I guess I'm a man of ideas, right? So one way of getting... I guess I'm into media. I'm a media person, so it's about getting ideas out to the masses, or not to the masses, but to more people. So I publish. That's where I get information out on paper and printed. I participate in video. That gets out information via images. And I've also done some work in radio, and that gets out information in audio format. So I guess that's kind of my spiel.
And when did you get started doing what you do?
Well, it depends which part of me what I do. I guess you get started at birth, right? So when you're born, you know, you have influences from your birth to the present day that kind of lead you in certain directions. But as far as publishing, I started in 1998. Collectif Les Lucioles, video activist. We started in 2002. And I guess radio, I've been doing that since probably about 2001.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to contact you to buy one of your books or zines or music CDs, where would they go?
For the books, they would go to cumuluspress.com. For video, they would go to leslucioles.org. And for radio, I guess they'd have to listen to the radio.
All right. And do you believe, like I do, that coffee is the juice of life?
Coffee is the juice of death.
Is it? Why?
Because it makes you feel tired when the effect is gone.
Hey, you're with Vera Olenek of Ed of the Basement Productions.
Okay, and what do you do?
We make zines, we throw parties. We're a loosely based arts collective that's basically out there to cross-promote local artists, writers, musicians, zine makers, etc.
And what is your content about mostly?
Content about right now in terms of our writing content, just silly little things. We have one zine called Come Shots and Tight Spots that we threw together in about 3 minutes when we realized we had sort of similar short stories about kids working in the sex industry. Some are funny, some are serious. Have another guide to surviving suburbia. We have a coloring book of older men that we have known in our lives. So there's really no unifying theme to our written content right now.
Okay, and why do you do this?
That's a good question. My mom asked it to me the other day. She asked me if I make money off of it. I don't make money. I do it. It's satisfying, you know. Looking at someone pick up a copy of your zine, and even if they don't mind, just smile or chuckle to themselves. That sounds really cliche, but it's a really, really wonderful feeling. Just knowing that someone's going to walk away with my zine and be reading my words in their living room, it kind of gets me giddy and excited.
All right. And where's your company based? Because you are a company.
We're loosely based in that we don't really have a headquarters. Anyone that knows us and does cool things is free to use our name, sort of a brand name association sort of thing. Right now, we are three students at McGill. Even though we don't really work through McGill, I guess you could say that we are located in McGill for the majority of our day. We use their photocopiers for free, so...
All right, and if someone wants to get one of your zines, where would they contact you?
You can email us. It's out of the basement. Each word is separated by an underscore at yahoo.ca.
If a monkey shaved, would it be more civilized?
Maybe if a monkey being shaved would make it appear more human. I think people are really into visual appearances, so I think a lot of people might think that it is more civilized and would invent all sort of scientific basis for it. I don't know if I'd believe it myself, but I could see how a lot of people would.
And if you were waiting in line for coffee and in front of you was one of these monkeys who shaved and it was ordering a banana and it was wearing a suit, would you actually be confused and think for a moment the first time you see it that it is a human being, but a very small human being who just can't pronounce words properly?
I might. My next thought to that would probably be that I'm having some horrible acid flashback from back in the day.
I'm here with a professor of mine that I had a while back ago in publishing and editing at Concordia, and he is?
Simon Dardick.
And what do you do?
Well, when I'm not being a professor, which if my mother was alive to hear that word, she'd be very proud of me because I'm really a book publisher and I don't profess to be anything else other than that.
And what do you enjoy in life mostly?
I think one of the most exciting things about what I do and the people who do it with me is to publish someone's first book. I mean the ecstasy that creates in the individuals being published and the pleasure that it gives us, and it truly is a pleasure, is unparalleled.
And you have your own company, your own press. which is called Vehicle Press. And where is it based?
Well, Vehicle Press used to be part of an artist-run gallery on St. Catherine Street near St. Lawrence Boulevard. But years ago, when we dissolved our cooperatively owned company, and it was a co-op, where we did printing, my wife and I continued it from our house in the plateau.
All right, and how did you start all this? How did you get into the idea of starting your own production company? And was it like a really hard thing to do back in the day? Not too long ago, but
Well, back in the early 70s, there was an art gallery called Vehicular, and it was called Vehicule because in the dictionary, the Robert dictionary meant the transference of ideas, and it was an artist-run gallery, and one of the artists bought a printing press to publish a magazine, and then after the magazine went defunct, it sat there for a while, and a few people gravitated around the printing press, and it became Vehicle Press. It became the press at the art gallery. And so that's how I started there. 6 months after the first people started Vehicle Press, I came on the scene, and I've been there ever since. So from 1973 to 1981, we did printing for the arts community, posters and artist books. And then in 1981, we dissolved our co-op, and we continued the publishing firm, as I said, from our house in the plateau. So, you know, we went from being actually printers and publishers to being just publishers.
All right. And if someone wants to find your books, where would they find them?
We have a good presence on the web. Just Google Vehicle Press, Vehicule Press, and you'd get us. Or www.vehiclepress.com.
Would you ever wear a funny hat if it looked normal but had the word funny written on it?
Well, I think it depends on the circumstances. I mean, I think after had a couple of shots of scotch, maybe I wouldn't care what shape the hat was. But yes, the answer is yes.
Okay, I'm here with Jackson Ellis. And what do you do? I am the publisher and editor and founder of a magazine called Verbicide. Verb as in V-E-R-B.
All right. And what's it about?
It's a magazine that I started in 1999 when I was 19. It was basically just a little poetry zine back then, cut and paste. Over the years, friends got involved, and now it's a 16,000 press run magazine, glossy cover. It covers a range of independent music from punk, hardcore, to hip-hop. We publish 4 to 5 pieces of fiction per issue. We have tons of record reviews, music reviews. We had over 30,000 words worth of reviews our last issue. We publish comics. We have art features every issue. So basically it's underground art. It covers a very wide gamut of interests, and it reflects the interests of everyone that's involved.
And how do you fund this company?
That's two parts. Basically, when I started it was all out of my pocket. I work full-time on the side. My partner, Nate Pollard, works full-time on the side. So I've paid a lot of money out of my pocket, borrowed a lot of money from my parents. Right now, it's a break-even project. I fund it mainly with advertising sales. I sell advertising, which basically covers the printing and shipping, and we have a few dollars left over that comes in from subscriptions, online store sales, and a few sparse pennies from our distributors who never pay us. And that covers, you know, things like, internet and, envelopes, packing supplies, ink.
And what's the power that pushes you to do this? Why exactly does a man want to do something like this?
I've been trying to figure that out for a long time. I think basically at this point, it started as something to do for fun. Now it's just basically this compulsion, and honestly, I'm being kind of cynical. Basically, what it really is that I love to edit, I love to write, I love to read other people's work, and everything that I've published in Verbicide is something that I've really enjoyed reading myself. Basically, what I've done is, I went about founding a magazine that would cater to people people with my kinds of interests. It's not very topic specific. It's not just like, it's not just about punk rock. It's not just about, it's not just a fiction magazine, just a poetry magazine. It covers a wide range of things. It's something, you know, it's great to read, you know, if you're on a road trip or an airplane or in the bathroom, whatever. It's something fun to do. And honestly, I love editing and I love working with the written word, and I have a hard time working for other people. I've worked for newspapers, I've interviewed for other magazines, and basically I like doing things where I'm not compromising editorial integrity for, you know, the big boss man who's trying to sell advertising and make a huge profit. I would like to make a profit. I know my partner would like to make a profit. We would love to do this for a living. We would love to pay our writers. Excuse me. At this point, you know, it's just something we're doing. It's a labor of love because we believe in what we put out.
Uh-huh. And where are you located for people who want to, do you accept submissions or?
Yeah, we do accept submissions. I've moved around so much, you know, we don't really put our mailing address online, but that's okay because I think the internet is how we reach most people anyway. That's how we communicate with people through email. So our website, the company is called Scissor Press. That's a publishing company that I founded with some friends in 2001. It's basically the umbrella under which we do Abstract Fantasy Comics, Verbicide Magazine. We've done other fanzines in the past that don't exist. We've put out CDs, compact discs. So if people want to check that out, we have a lot of projects online. It's www.scissorpress.com. It's scissorpress.com.
Okay, and one last question.
A mystery.
Yeah, a mystery question. Would you join a cult for the fringe benefits?
No, not at this point. I'm not quite that desperate yet.
Okay. I'm here with...